Hey guys, this is Toby Brusso, producer director of the Rocketman documentary, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
Shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome on back to Verbal Shenanigans. Mike, hello, how are you?
Scott, I am doing so well. We just did a couple of great interviews, and I just wanted to say as a note, I won't spoil yet the people who we just interviewed. The first person we interviewed, during that time frame, I had to throw my baseball cap at my cat because she was chewing the TV and was wobbling.
Interesting. I was just going to say, Mike, we don't usually see you, or I guess. When I talk for we, I talk about the podcast, but we don't usually see you in hat. This is like a new podcast look for you, and I like it.
Well, thank you.
I also like it because you're very, very blurry right now, because I think we have a weird connection, but, you know.
Okay. Well, the wife got me the hat. There's going to be What's up?
What's on it? I can't see. You're so blurry that you're kind of like this pixelated, like, robot.
All right. I'm going to move it up. It's like a peace sign in rainbow colors.
Oh, so you're doing the hippie thing now.
Yeah. Well, what's going to happen is if everything goes as planned, we're going to try to do a full marathon with me, my wife, a friend of hers, and a couple others down at the school, and they're making t-shirts for it, and it's going to be like a rainbow theme. So the wife got me a hat to use as I need it, so I don't burn my face off with the Georgia sun out in June.
So you have team outfit for a socially distant marathon.
Correct. We'll have spacing, like my wife and I will be on one side, our friend will be on the other side. That's more than 10 feet away, which is recommended for running. But she came up with like a little design where it's like, you know, the NBC thing, The More You Know, where it's like a rainbow that's pushing a star.
I do.
Kind of went with that, and she put like a 26.2 in the star, and there's a whole thing about it. I'm also getting apparently a t-shirt that's a rainbow colored dog, just because it's a dog.
Why do these runs come with like full like themes with them?
I guess it's just one of those that adds to the enthusiasm. I mean, if you're dealing with, you could be talking about trying to run multiple miles in mid 80s to possible 90 degrees, you need something to kind of enthusiastic and not dread going into it, if you will.
So when you're like at like mile 20, you're like, I want to kill myself, this stinks. You look down and you see your rainbow shirt, you're like, it's all
with
good.
With the dog on it.
With the dog on it, you're like,
yeah,
it's all good, man, no problem.
Well, I'm not sure if I brought it up. In the half marathon I did, I pet 16 different dogs at that time. Because
in the marathon?
Yeah, we were doing half a marathon. And, you know, people come out to support people who are running. It was the big Atlanta marathon. And people were coming out with their dogs. And I would come to the side and be like, hey, can I pet your dog? And they're like, yeah. And it'd be kind of my little rest period for about 20, 30, 40 seconds, just letting the dog saying hi. And then I would speed up and catch up to my wife and her friend as they started shaking their head about, you petting our dog, didn't you? And I'm like, how'd you know? They're like, because you're grinning ear to ear.
So many runners are like, you know, clocking their times, tracking their pace. You are running and stopping, coming to a full stop to go pet a golden retriever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that is...
So really, the time that you post, like, say, whatever you had, you could take off 16 dogs times 36. You get to take off, like, 10 minutes, basically, from dog petting time.
It's a possibility, but I choose not to.
Right.
It's all about just completing and enjoying it. And if I'm going to enjoy it and I see a cute little dog, I'm going to say hi to it.
Oh, man. So now you're going to be in a rainbow dog outfit.
Uh-huh. With a rainbow hat with the peace sign on it.
Oh, boy. I can't wait till, like, eventually you're running in, like, a full, like, mascot, like, outfit. And it's like, whatever.
You see,
it's the mascot 500 or something like that. And you have to do 500 laps around the school in some Disney outfit.
So what you're saying is you're planning to read on the internet about a guy getting arrested in Georgia wearing a gritty outfit.
Right.
Running around the schools during the day, scaring the children.
Now, if you guys are coming up with these strange costumes, I wonder, why have you not created the Verbal Shenanigans either marathon or half marathon? I don't get it, Mike. You're losing out on marketing opportunities.
Trying to remember if I did the half marathon with the Verbal Shenanigans
where
shirt.
Each lap they just blast our podcast, like one episode of the podcast, and then by the time you get to the new one, they put on another one.
Yeah.
It could be like 26 of our favorite interviews where every time you cross you get to the circle, you get a new one.
I guess so. I guess if we go for certain guests, it would make me run a hell of a lot faster just to get to the next episode.
Right.
Like it's like, oh, crap, it's Zap. I got to sprint.
From
like,
American
I got no
Gladiators.
Time to pet dogs.
Yeah.
So.
No. So you ran one marathon before, I think, right?
I've done a half marathon.
Half.
This is technically my first attempt at a full.
Oh, cool.
I think about 2 weekends ago, we tried to get up to 25. I've done 24 in living room. No, 23 in the living room once. And we were going to do 24. It was the first time I tried it outside. My legs weren't feeling it at that time, so I did 20. Wife and her friend did about 25 and a quarter. But next month, it's... If everything works as planned, so it's a full one, baby.
Now, a couple months ago, you had said that you were not going to, like, the wife was asking, oh, you know, we're going to do a marathon. And you were like, listen, I don't want to commit to that. I don't want to do that. What's changed?
I guess what's changed, number one, this. what the hell else am I doing?
Right.
That's number one. Number two, there wasn't as many long runs that I thought they were planning on doing, because I was thinking they were going to try to do like 15, 20 every weekend, where it's like, look, you know, it's great exercise and all that fun stuff. At the end of the day, you just took like an eighth of my weekend right there,
right.
Where it's like, I don't want any part of that. But, you know, like I said, I mean, I slowly did certain amounts. I had less fears about getting certain pains and whatever, because the first half marathon I did, I had an IT band issue that really took me out of commission for a while.
And now, as an IT guy, you weren't able to fix that.
No. Totally different. I'm a Windows. I was a Mac.
Oh, gotcha.
But I don't want to say it's a good thing, but like as much as I was complaining about, hey, seriously, I have this bad pain in the knee. My wife and her friend were like, oh yeah, just walk it off. They both eventually had an issue at some point with their IT band. They're kind of like, oh, okay, now we get what the heck you were saying.
Yeah.
Like before, it's just like, shut up, man. Why don't you be a man and just walk it off? But now it's kind of like, oh, wait, this is legitimate.
Now, running is running's tough on the body, tough on the knee. Like, I'm still currently with basically a half an ankle. I give myself 1.5 ankles. So for
that's
me,
a pretty decent review. That's better than what we get on iTunes.
Well, it's fine. Yeah, some of our episodes have gotten 1 ankle, 2 ankles, but you know, we're looking for stars, people. We're looking for stars. By the way, Berlo, we have a perfect rating on iTunes. Not to toot our own horn or anything, but we have all 5-star ratings. But
That's pretty nice. We do have good reviews. We do have good episodes if you listen to us, people.
We do. So I'm actually at the point now where, so the ankle thing's been a long time. If you guys, I blew my ankle out in August 1st of last year, and I got a couple tears in there. I went for another MRI recently, right before the pandemic, of course. And they're like, you know, the real thing, you're probably looking at surgery. I sent it to my two cousins who are like doctors of physical therapy, and they're like, yeah, you're probably looking at surgery. And I don't want to do surgery during a pandemic. And I'm not crippled. I still work out and I'm still able to walk and whatnot. But it's still, you know, it hurts and it feels like it's kind of plateaued to a certain point. Like it's not going to get any better on its own. So now I'm thinking, you know, I got a baby coming in October. I got to find a time to do this. And now I'm thinking, man, I don't want to do this in the summer. Either be laid up for like 5 or 6 weeks in the summer or whatever. Not laid up, but like no weight bearing, kind of 6-week recovery period. So now it's stressing me out again. We're almost at a full year that, like, and it's just the way things have kind of worked. It kind of sucks.
I'm looking forward to the timing where Alex will actually get to try to bet on who will take the first steps, your new child or yourself.
Oh, yeah. We'll film races.
Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I keep telling you I can't. Now drag me to my podcast, Mike.
Speaking of Alex, I made her give me a haircut the other day. If I'm looking pretty good, Mike, you could see me. You know, like I'm looking all right. I feel pretty good.
Not bad. Like, what you using? Just regular scissors, a buzzer? No.
So I didn't even cut the top. I don't really care about the top, as I'm showing you and not the audience. The top is fine, but the sides get like weird and long and kind of Afro-y. And my friend's away, and we'll get into that in a second. But he said he's got clippers that I can try, and we did the whole sit in the bathroom, shirt off, and I said, "Look, just go for it." And she was nervous, and eventually we ironed it out, and I was kind of freaking out because I have kind of like curly-ish hair, so it doesn't always like sit flat. It's not the easiest to cut and whatnot, but you know. I feel okay. I feel like, you know, kind of a human being. Have you gotten a haircut yet down there?
No, I'm still as is. It's bushy. It's not the end of the world. I mean, it's just.
We're talking about your head, Berlo. We're talking about your head.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know, down there, I'm just like a jungle down there.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But, yeah, I haven't had the feeling, like, way back when I had, like, a shaver, but it wasn't a good shaver. I tried to do my own haircut because I would just get buzz cuts, and it didn't come out too well. But I don't – that was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. But I'm not really worried at the moment.
I wasn't really worried, but we had the option to try.
I mean, I guess it's fun. I mean, added with your job, you got a gap where if something screws up dramatically, you don't sit back and go, oh, crap, I'm back in a week.
Right.
Mine, if they say, okay, businesses are up, I could be walking into reverse mohawk. But, yeah. I mean, it's just not a major concern of mine. It's not anything where I'm like, I can't work with this in any way. Yeah. So I just kind of let it go. I mean...
Let it go.
Yeah, exactly. I'm almost amused to see what the end result will be before I have to get it cut. You know,
I want to see
how far it will actually grow.
When I met you, you had somewhat longish hair. Not long, but it was definitely longer.
It really depends on when you catch me, because for the most part, I get like, I mean, they buzz my hair, but I'm the kind of guy, it's like, I want to take it to the furthest point before I finally go, okay, now I got to go get a haircut.
Yeah, when I met you, you had like semi-long hair, and you also wore a fedora.
I do remember the fedora days. No. I saw a picture yesterday. Man, I was fat back in those days. But, yeah, sadly, the fat works with the fedora.
So you think fat and fedora go together, but once you lose a certain amount of weight, the fedora is donezo?
I can see if it comes on because the look looked good. But like I said, like it looked all right, but I also look at my face and I'm like, yeah, that was didn't feel like cooking, going to the local pizza place every night, Berlou.
Yeah, well, let's break that down, because that was a time period where let's see what was going on. You were doing comedy, so
mm-hmm. Wow, that's long ago.
Yeah, so it was later nights. We were working on the radio show, and that was at least one night a week, which was very late. So you're in bars, and so that's food. Sometimes a couple beers. You know, you were living alone. And whenever anybody's alone, no one really, like, I don't know. It's so easy to, like, just do nothing and slip into a bad diet and whatnot. And
even the stuff that's easy to make or can store for long is usually not the greatest thing on the planet.
Yeah, and you just get, like, well, whatever. Like, food just becomes, like, whatever. Some people get, like, find comfort in food and just eat a lot. Others just order pizza and I'll eat half tonight, save the other half for tomorrow. So you're having pizza two meals in a row. What else was going on? Yeah, I mean, you're a Redskins fan, so suicide's always like kind of close.
I worked at that other place, so depression.
Right, so you weren't loving your job. You weren't loving your situation, so you didn't have any dog at the time, so...
Okay, that's real depression there.
Yeah, I mean, before we were gigantic, successful podcasters, we were just trying to figure this thing out. I mean, now life is... I mean, our mortgages are paid, we're good.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm building a second studio outside. That's how great the money flow is going. Like I told the contractors, you know, knock down about 20 trees in the backyard.
Right. Oh, 20 trees. Big podcast studio going on.
Yeah. I told them move the zebra farm to the other side. You know,
you still got those zebras, huh?
You know, I still think zebra burgers are going to be a thing sometime down the road.
And will the burgers have stripes on them too? Or
I mean, we're working on it. I mean, the last few demos didn't come out too well with the, you know, the dead people in Alabama, but they did say it was delicious before they curdled. So, yeah.
right.
But yeah, I mean, once that's in there, I mean, you know, I got this intern, Rogan, that's going to start. You know,
Rogan's interning for you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not. Listen, I mean, yeah, I got the big bucks, but I told him, like, if you want to really see this podcast game, you work for free. That tells me you're hungry. Don't, none of this, oh, I have to pay you like a regular person. No, no, no.
So in between his podcast, he's flying out to Georgia and putting in a couple hours a week with you.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes he's picking up zebra poop in the area to clean it out. Sometimes he's cutting down the tree for the contractors. I mean, it's small things. I mean, it grows mentality to get you into the mind of a podcast.
So he's, after he hangs up with Elon Musk, like, so he had Elon Musk on the show the other day. He just hangs, you know, he says, all right, Elon, I got to catch a flight, and goes all the way across the country to Georgia to your backyard and takes care of your zebras.
I gotta be honest, I never ask him where he lives. I just tell him if you're 5 minutes late, I'm gonna get somebody else and all. I got some kid named Marin who might want to take this
guy sent in a resume.
Yeah. So yeah. You know, I don't really care. I tell him what to do, and if it's not correct, I flip him off. That's all that matters to me.
I mean, this is just me. But I listen, tell me I'm wrong, but I think Joe Rogan could probably take you in a fight.
I heard some rumors about that. I mean, he did give me kind of like a little squinted look where I'm like, I don't like what you're doing in turn, so I'm going inside. So I didn't pursue it further, but I guess having 8 abs is better than none.
Right. Right.
I'm guessing hanging out with basically certified killers
right,
makes you have some kind of idea of how to do the same thing. But, you know, nah, you know, half of management is just making sure they know where they're at in this world.
All right, good, good.
I'm going to tell it the way it is to him.
I mean, you're always you speak the truth. You always have. You always will. So Berlew brings the truth. But I mean, I feel like I didn't even introduce ourselves here this week to new listeners, guys. This is before we get to our guest here. Normally we introduce ourselves up front, but this week, you know, screw it. We did a little later. But this is Verbal Shenanigans. We are a weekly podcast. We've been cranking out 2 a week just during this pandemic time. Who knows? Who knows? With the way we've been going, maybe we'll keep this up for a while through the summer. I don't know. But we've had some really amazing guests over the years. Our last episode was Jack O'Halloran from Superman, a former boxer, fought George Foreman. But we are a weekly podcast. We like to, talk about life, and then we always bring in a, you know, very unique guest. And this week is no different, Berlew. And finally, Mike, I think we're going to bring someone on that could help beef up the fact that I know that you keep telling me that, but I know that the Earth is flat. So I feel like at least this guy can help solidify my argument.
Yeah, I mean, you are pretty tight with that thought process. I mean, I think I brought up that one year I got you a globe and you like broke it in front of me and told me to get out of the house.
Yeah, maps only, bro.
You were a flat earther or you just wanted me out of the house. It could have been either or.
Maybe so. It was a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, it was 2:30 in the morning and I broke into your house without asking, so.
Yeah, with the globe and with no clothes on. So it was a little bit weird. It was a little awkward in the hallway. The
globe was in front of my, you know, private parts.
Right.
You know.
Well, okay, you're telling too much info. This is getting creepy.
So.
Yeah, it was, you snuck up my stairwell with the globe, you know, in front of your privates, and then woke me up in the middle of the night and was like, hey, Scott, the Earth is round. And I freaked, you know, it was a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, no, it's not. And where are your clothes? And there was a whole discussion before we knew it. Like, all right, it's 5. Let's just record a podcast. Yeah.
And then I took the gun out that was under my bed, and things got ugly, you know.
Yeah, true.
But who we got?
But tonight, Scott, we're going to be talking with producer Toby Brousseau. He created this documentary that came out last year called Rocket Man, Mad Mike's Mission to Prove the Flat Earth. We're going to be chatting with him on all the details about the work done into this documentary. And as a side note for everybody who is not aware, Mad Mike unfortunately passed away earlier this year in February, reattempting trying to shoot himself up in a rocket to prove the flat earth. But we're going to be chatting with him on his filmmaking, a book that he made previously, and his thoughts on the man, the myth, the legend, Mad Mike.
Now, if only our Mike could strap himself into a rocket and try to continue his legacy, we might be a little happy. But
I mean, I'm slowly getting there. Picking different vehicles at a time. Like last month, I jumped into a steamboat, but that didn't really go anywhere. So, eventually we'll get to the rocket.
Well, let's hope you jump into a steam bath next time. But anyway, guys, let's get Toby on the line. Toby, what's going on? It's Scott here.
Scott, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Good.
Good.
Hanging inside, looking at the walls. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, there you go. Where are you guys now? Tell me again.
I'm in Jersey. Mike's in Georgia.
Okay.
So we're
yeah. So are you guys still pretty heavily quarantining in Jersey?
Yeah, we're it's pretty strict at the moment. It's I don't know. It feels like it's getting to a breaking point, and people are as the weather's turning, it feels like people are like, well, you know, we got to get out at some point. So I don't know
right,
how long
George,
it's gonna last, but
right. And Georgia's like the opposite. They're like, fuck it.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, the only good thing about it is like what they didn't announce was like all the regulations involved. So like half the places that they said, hey, you're wide open, they're like, well, we can't meet requirements. So it's pretty much been the same for the most part. I mean, some right. people are getting haircuts, but
oh, thank like, God. Yeah. Thank
where God. Are you at, Toby?
So currently, I am in South Dakota, like the southwestern
oh, wow. right.
part of the state. So quarantine is not a big deal for me. So I can mountain bike, I can rock climb, I can go on road bike rides. It's it's quite simple. And, you know, I mean, out here, it's fake news anyway, so whatever.
All right, is that where you're from, or is that just like...
Where yeah, so that's what okay. that's where I'm originally from, and I have family here, so I'm here at the moment. But yeah, this is it's a notoriously red state where, quote-unquote, America is.
Is that where that is, America? I've been looking for it.
Yeah, yeah. Right in the middle. Smack that. So
the least visited state is America? That's great.
You know, South, North Dakota, whatever. It's just a state. It's a flyover, right?
Exactly.
Well, how do you guys want to go about this? Do you want, like, are we recording now? How do you want to kick it off? Or...
Oh, I've been recording, so we can we can just roll with it. It's not too stuffy here, so.
Well, really, I didn't know how I was going to, follow up with last week's guest. I mean, how do you really follow up with a Bigfoot? I guess you follow up with a documentary about Flat Earth.
Yeah, I mean, we're going through all the theories and all the... next week is the Loch Ness Monster cast, so...
Listen, there's big conspiracy theories out there now.
That's it.
Big conspiracies.
Well,
come on.
Well, we figured that Unsolved Mysteries has been off the air for like 20 years, so we're just trying to capitalize it now at the right moment.
Right, right. You know, actually, funny you say that. I saw a friend watching that. It's actually syndicated. I mean, it's still going. It's still out there. But funny enough, we're never going to... have a problem finding a boogeyman if we look.
Yes.
Whatever that may be, whether it's the conspiracy theory with the COVID or Bigfoot mm-hmm. or Flat Earth or whatever it may be, we're never going to have to look too far.
No,
humans are
no.
pretty creative.
We could create a bad guy out of anything. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
America.
Yeah.
So, Toby, I mean, let's kind of rewind before we into the documentary. Like I've seen you've authored a book, I Am South Dakota. You've assisted in creating a Star Trek kind of mini series. You've worked in marketing. What kind of drove you to get more into films and creating documentaries?
Well, it's interesting you say that. You know, I mean, I have a background in photojournalism and producing stories. So it came naturally when I saw Mad Mike's story on the website I Fucking Love Science. You know, it was just this aha moment. But as far as like creating the book and whatnot, I was a photojournalist. And I said, you know what? I've heard about this guy. He lives out in the woods and he's completely off the grid. I want to go find this crazy dude and see what he's like and maybe document his story and see if he's open to it. Because to me, that's really cool, right? It's like this modern day Walden's Pond kind of guy. And the guy's name is Jeff. And we're talking about beer. I might as well mentioned his last name is Schluckabeer.
Nice. Schluckabier. Nice.
Yes. So, anyway, Jeff is a really cool guy, and he built this house into a hillside, you know, and, you know, saves snow in the winter, and it lasts almost through August in this little insulated cooler that he has. And he lives completely off the grid, albeit one telephone line for emergencies. So I asked him, like, what do you do? You know, how'd you get into this? And started taking photos and documented it and compiled it into a story. And he says, hey, you know what? I have a really interesting story about, you know, if you're looking for interesting people, the guy that gave me all these bees is, he lives not too far from here. You should talk to him. So I'm like, you know, that sounds really interesting. I've always been curious about honeybees and how they work and live, and maybe I could have an experience with bees and kind of document that. So it turned into this kind of how can I have these adventures, these different adventures, and make a product out of it, like a book, and at the same time meet some cool people and showcase their cool lifestyles. So after the bee guy, I met this guy who captures mountain lions and does studies for Game Fish and Parks. And we went out and caught mountain lions one weekend. And it was just this crazy kind of, wow, I can't believe I'm having all these cool experiences. And I threw it into a book.
Nice. Now, when you got the idea, like, how did the idea of, okay, here's a guy that Mike, who's obviously very eccentric and unique, to say the least. When did the idea say, hey, let's follow him for X amount of time? And how do you convince, how do you convince the producers or whoever you're working with to fund this and to buy into following this kind of unique individual around?
Okay, so as far as Rocket Man, found him online, and I spent probably 2 to 3 weeks trying to contact him. And he was being contacted by various production companies. They wanted to film the launch, et cetera. And really what it came down to is I pitched him on the idea that I wanted to show and tell a more rounded story rather than just, you know, this kook that was going to launch himself in the air to prove the flat earth. Because between me and you guys and everybody that's listening, I really thought that all the flat earth was to me was genius marketing. because when I read that line, man wants to launch himself in homemade rocket to prove the earth is flat. I mean, we're a headline culture, right? You read that headline, you're like, okay, that's funny. And my brain instantly clicked back to a documentary that I'm very fond of. And it's like the inspiration for the movie was American Movie. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's directed by Chris Smith, and I'm a big fan of Chris's because he just produced this movie, and he followed around his friends that while he was in college trying to make a horror movie. And it's called American Movie, and it's kind of just letting these guys do their thing, and they don't know what they're doing, and it's pretty obvious, and they fall on their faces. But they're endearing to an extent. You want to see them succeed, even though it's just a shit show, for lack of a better word. So I talked with Mike and got the go-ahead, and I formed a team real quick, and then probably about a month later, we're out there filming him in the desert.
Nice.
So when you're initially seeing what he's doing, like, up front, I mean, just out of curiosity, like, how much into it are you saying to yourself, oh no, I'm not too confident in where this is going, when he's like getting stuff at the dollar store and getting stuff at Home Depot for his rocket?
Well, I knew it was going to be a DIY project, and I was completely ready for that. I mean, it was pretty obvious that he was competent in different skills as far as, you know, welding and building something like this. And, you know, that's when Waldo came in, and Waldo's his landlord slash helper, right? Rocket scientist.
Yes.
You guys have seen the film. And,
yes.
You know, I mean,
I was laughing at that.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, one of the first things Mike said was he talked about cognitive dissonance, and that was very interesting to me, because somebody who believes in the flat earth, or at least say purport to believe in it, talks about cognitive dissonance. And,
you know, just to rewind real quick, when I said, okay, what do I want to do? Why do I want to make this film? And I was curious, okay, do people really think I'm going to give this guy a platform about Flat Earth? And what kind of a movie do I really want to make? Do you want to make a film that's already been done or similar to what could be accomplished in a YouTube video, right? Because I don't want to make a YouTube video movie. I think that's so, it's just, I don't know, for lack of a, it's just lazy, I guess. Uh-huh. And I think my brain immediately went to doing a human interest story because Flat Earth to me, come on, get real. we know the Earth isn't flat. And I don't really want to go into, you know, we talked about, what do we do? Do we show him testing the Flat Earth? And you know, the consensus was, no, we don't give a shit because it's obviously not flat. It's round. So let's pepper in a few details throughout the film about how the Earth is obviously round and focus on the human aspect and the adventure. And that became the focus of the film. And it's just very interesting because if, you know, you've read or heard anybody talk about it that doesn't like the film, they just don't like Mike. They don't really watch the film and give it a fair chance because in the end, you're rooting for Mike. Whether you agree or whether you disagree with him, you're rooting for him.
Right.
And that's really cool about the movie. I'm sorry. I went on a little tangent there, but no, I think that was part of the, you know, part of the charm that he's doing this DIY project. But the reality of how dangerous it was really didn't set in until we were actually filming him about to launch up in this, you know, steel. I mean, it's a tin rocket, right? And
right.
And that's kind of scary. And there's. You know, luckily, we captured a successful launch.
Nice.
So, when you're making this film, like, how much conversation are you having with him on, like, his daily activities? Or are you just literally, I'm not here, I'm just a camera guy, do everything, don't even acknowledge I'm in existence?
I think there's a combination of that. I mean, you want to include Mike. Yeah, I mean, you want to include the subject in whatever you're doing and be a fly on the wall at the same time, but also realize that you have to craft a story. So you may say, listen, we're going to come over tonight. We're going to hang out and we'll ask you some questions. And, you know, that's when we caught him on the couch. And the story to that was, we're dead tired and we knew that, you know, you have to get some moments. And that's really important because someone like Mike really didn't care about that. He could have cared less about us filming him sitting at home. In fact, yeah, Mike would have wanted, as you can imagine, you've seen the film, as far as like his ego, he would have just rather have had us film him walking around in slow motion for an hour and a half with his sunglasses on.
Well, he did have the great hair. He made that very apparent. He had the great hair. So
yeah, absolutely, totally did. But no, I mean, yeah, you want to. It's a combination for sure.
No, when you're sitting there and you're filming this guy that you know is obviously a little off and, but strangely talented at the same time. Is it hard to like? Like, I'm assuming you're sitting there filming this guy do things for hours on end. Is it hard to kind of, like, not, for lack of a better term, laugh or not take him seriously at some points? Like, are you guys having fun with it during it, or is it all, like, straight business, kind of let Mike guide where this is going?
Again, a combo. I really feel like, it was good because, you know, I mean, when you're filming somebody right off the bat and they don't know you and you know, it's just kind of awkward, right? It's just weird. So you try to get to know this, the person and joke around with them. But you also realize that, you know, you have to get some moments with him. And, I think Mike was okay doing his thing, and we stayed back most of the time. But there was this moment where he said, guys, I need paint from the store. And I'm like, well, shit, if we don't get him paint, he's just going to be sitting here all day. So we better go get his paint. So literally we ran to the store, you know, with some colors and had these guys mix some paint. And $500 later, we're back and he starts priming the paint. And I'm like, nicely played, Mike, nicely played. But, you know, yeah, you try to be a fly on the wall, but you also have to engage. It's a fine line of getting what you know is going to play well and what you need for the film and annoying the hell out of somebody.
What kind of budget did you have going into this, out of curiosity? Because, like, from like getting ready for that launch and all, I'm seeing like crane shots or helicopter shots. I'm seeing inside the cockpit, 20 different angles and all for like a documentary like this. Is that where you said, all right, this is the money, put everything into it kind of shot?
Well, I mean, that's always hard, right? I've worked with people and heard stories of people who've followed subjects for 5+ years and never even completed their documentary because the story doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, we talked to him last week, the Bigfoot guy.
Oh, really?
He's been following a subject for 10 years. He hasn't seen him yet.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to gauge, but yeah, I think where we really put some of the money is when we got to that stage where we knew he was going to launch and, you know, brought more people on. And you can see from some of those shots that's where you do, you put the extra dollars and you put the extra cameras and you add the extra people on the crew. As far as specifics, I'm not going to get into specifics, but, you know, the production value speaks for itself as far as, you know, you can tell that it was well-timed. And one of the things that we're really happy with as far as the film is it was shot in real time, right?
Right.
Everything was going down in real time. So when they're taking that rocket out to the launch site, you have to understand, you know, we didn't get a redo. It's just, go, go, go. It's just, you know, and sometimes filmmaking is like that. I personally don't like to do it that way because when you're rushing like that, you can make mistakes and you can get hurt, et cetera. You can miss moments.
Yeah,
but these guys were just like, hey, we don't give a shit that you're filming us. We are going out to launch this rock.
Right.
I'm like, okay, cool. That's great. You know, I mean, and then you get 15 minutes with them at the end of the day and be like, okay, what'd we do today? Or what's going on here? Right. Explain to us X, Y, Z. I mean, even when Mike was welding up on top of his motorhome, I remember a microphone got in his way and he flipped out. You know, he never cared because, you know, and I can see it from his point of view. He's like, I don't even know if this is going to work or how it's going to turn out, but now I have to deal with a microphone cord and people filming me. So it was just another layer added on to him. He really had a hard time seeing the final product envisioned in his mind because he was so focused on launching. Okay.
Toby, my favorite scene in the movie was where they had that meeting about ultimately launching Mike in, and they had what looked like
the round table.
Oh my God, the toys and the I don't know. Just to explain, like, this, these are oxygen tanks, and we're gonna they're gonna fall off. Like, my question. So when you, not just that scene in particular, but you see something that, you know, you have to know while you're filming, like, this is gold.
Well, it's interesting you say that because they didn't want to do that. And I said, guys, are you crazy? No, listen, I arranged this meeting. I'm like, listen, I want to know how you plan to get to space. And let's bring everyone into your house. I'll bring coffee and donut and we'll have this round table. And I want to know. And let's have Waldo explain it because there's some guys that don't know about it. I want to know how you're going to plan to get to space. And it turned out to be, I have to agree with you, one of my favorite scenes as well, because it's so apparent. Mike is in over his head. And
when he find, you know, I mean, the looks on his face when he realizes it's, you know, he's going to be going up in space and high.
Right.
Priceless. It's just priceless.
By far my favorite. And the models they had, like, I took a lot of joy in picturing, like, Waldo rummaging around his house, finding things or going to the local store to make that model. It brought a lot of joy to my heart.
Oh man, it's pretty funny. It's like a G.I. Joe character, right, in an astronaut suit and like some toilet paper rolls or paper towel rolls for the oxygen containers. And it's great. It's great. I mean, when Waldo came into it, everybody who came into the story just added such nice layers upon the documentary. And it was, what was also great, it was all organic. It was just such a nice feel. I really didn't have to push for it. There was a couple characters we interviewed, it just didn't work out, didn't fit the storyline, but Mike, Waldo, and Pat turned out to be this great trio of characters that, you know, come hell or high water, they were going to launch this rocket.
Yeah, so my question was, like, when you're seeing gold, like what I call gold on film like that, do you guys know in the moment, or is this like you get back to the studio, run the tape and talk about it and go, oh my God, like this is amazing? Or is it in the moment you know exactly what you're filming?
I would say in the moment you actually know. There was a section where Mike was watching YouTube videos and I'm filming him and he starts going off the handle about how he beats up people. And I'm filming him rant. And I'm like, I am just holding the camera and I'm trying not to fall, because you have to understand his outside garage work area is a death trap. It's a fucking death trap. There's steel all over. It's cut. It's welded. If you fall, I mean, you could literally get impaled in his driveway. So I'm filming between the runway tracks of the ramp to the rocket and just trying to keep it together and film him as he rants about beating people up, and then he's a nice guy. And with that rant was – we captured that. I think – I think we watched it that night probably 50 times. I mean, it was hilarious. And that was gold. I mean, that was an example of gold, that rant.
It sure was.
Yeah.
That's so let's talk about the other side of things. So when they get everything prepped up and they're ready to go for that launch and Mike is pulling that lever and he's like, nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what's going through your mind? Is there something like, oh man, this rocket never goes up, there goes my documentary? Or did you have things in your head where, like, I had to prepare if this doesn't happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, we had seen his previous launch, so we knew it was possible, but there was a concern. I remember after it launched, we were driving back and I had some people from the crew, and you know, we were all disappointed, but then we realized that, you know, after that it was actually great that it didn't happen, because that's the point of the hero's struggle, right? And that's the point where, you know, I mean, this, it's so interesting, this documentary fell apart like in the classic story struggle or classic story structure, as far as the hero struggling and then he overcomes and he, you know, has his win in the end. But yes, it was very hard for us to see it not go up, in addition to the hundreds and hundreds of people that were watching and stuck around all day to see it. But it worked out very well in the end. So it was good to trust, or I guess I've learned to just trust whatever you're going to film. And yeah, I mean, it would have been a different story if it had never went up, or if it would have been how his last launch turned out, for sure.
Yeah, well, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that. Like,
sure.
When you see that, you know, for people that don't know, Mike tried to do another launch and it did not go successful. Right. And he, unfortunately, no matter what you think of him, lost his life. What is your feeling when you get the news that happens, and you know you have hours and hours of time invested in this guy, whether the film in general or just like spending time with him? What's your feeling when that happens?
Well, I remember getting the text from Danny. Danny is the guy that was helping out with the oxygen.
Right.
That told Mike that his face could start on fire.
Oh yeah.
And Mike said, "Holy moly." Yeah, so I got the call text from Danny. I was talking with him. I was like, "Let me know when it happens, you know." And he said, "You got it." And that was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Then I texted him back. He said, or I got a text back, and he said, "Yeah, we're ready to go. It's going to happen any moment." A couple hours passed. I was hiking, and I'm like, I text him back, and I say, "Danny, what's up?" He said, right away, text back, and he said it did not go well. He did not survive. And that was really hard. You know, not only for getting to know Mike as a person and filming him all that time, happened to anybody.
Nope. Did we lose him?
He's there. He dropped out, though.
I think Mike would kept on going.
Oh.
And hey, Toby, going. And
Toby, give me a you just dropped out during that answer. So if you could just.
Did I?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You can
just restart.
Okay, so where did I start?
We lost you when he basically when you got that call and you
sure
it didn't go well. So I guess go from there. I'll patch it all together.
Sure. So I got the text from Danny that it didn't go well. He did not survive, and it hit pretty hard. I mean, it was Mike's death was inevitable in the abstract, but sad in reality. It's more than that, you know. We didn't always agree. Somebody like Mike, Mike's personality, and myself, where I wouldn't just, I guess, pat his ego all the time. I would, you know, question what he did. We didn't always get along, but he was a good guy. I think deep down, like anybody, Mike just wanted to be appreciated and loved and valued. I mean, why did he launch this rocket? Was it about the flat Earth? Sure, it could have been. But for the most part, I think it was Mike's way to remain relevant, or at least try to remain relevant as he got older. And yeah, it's extremely sad. I'm still sad about it. I mean, we really, you know, I mean, because of COVID, we haven't got together. We haven't had the memorial. I think people are looking for that closure. And no, it's very, very sad.
Yeah.
And if I recall, even I think it happened like the Saturday before we originally scheduled our interview with, and it was just freaky timing, you know?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it's so fascinating. I mean, just out of curiosity, like when you put out this film, even before what happened to Mike, did you get a lot of the, hey, you didn't like concentrate more on the flat Earth stuff? Or did people want to almost mock the situation versus learning the story of the man, do you feel?
I think this film, and this is going to come across maybe a little bit pompous, but it's for smart people. And I think the problem with putting yourself out there, especially on some place like the internet, is you're going to get a lot of opinions that don't really matter. And you open up and you give a microphone to people who want to criticize and who have never made the film or have maybe never even seen the film. And they've read about Mike and they only want to criticize, and they don't see the good subtext in the film about belief systems and about science and about Mike as a person. And that's really too bad. But hey, that's the world we're in. But yeah, of course, I mean, you get the classic, well, why didn't this guy just put a camera on a weather balloon, man? Or why didn't he just take a flight, man? And I'm like, well, you dipshits, you're not going to get attention like that, man.
Right.
You launch yourself in a rocket.
that is when people pay attention, because it's cool. And yeah, I was criticized by some people saying that, you know, this, you know, we took advantage of Mike, and we gave him an audience to do it, and you basically, you know, just had negative connotations of filming a documentary on him. And if we never would have filmed him, then he never would have done it. And I said, well, that's really not true. Mike is a daredevil by trade, and he was going to launch if it was just him, Waldo, and Pat out there in the desert and nobody else. He would have done it. That's just Mike.
Yeah, and I think it goes, I think your film speaks to what people will be infinitely interested in it, and it's always eccentric, crazy people, or interesting people, or overly smart people, or all, like, you know, the outliers. I mean, you look at, you know, look at the biggest film or whatever documentary of the year, Tiger King. It basically took the nation by storm, and it's all just about eccentric people and whatnot. And your film, whether it's films about people who collect things or people have interesting hobbies, and I think your film fits right into that. I mean, Mike is a clearly an eccentric guy, both smart and also ignorant guy, I guess you can say. But film wise and viewing wise, it makes it you know, we're interested in seeing what he's going to do next. And you know, that's also one of the crappy parts about, you know, his untimely death.
Yeah, I completely agree. We're always going to be wanting to see somebody do the Jackass stunt, so to speak.
Right.
And yeah. I don't think that's going away. You know, I've been confronted and criticized by people that haven't even seen the film, as I said before, that, you know, and where is that line, right, that you take advantage of somebody without knowing? Where is that line? I mean, I'm fine ethically, and my conscience is clear that, you know, of the film that we did, and I'm very happy with the film that we did. So,
yep, and I highly enjoyed it. Thank you for that. Out of curiosity, where is your life taking you now? Are you looking at the next documentary? Are you looking at other things?
I am. I'm looking at different show ideas. You know, really what it comes down to is what I'm going to be interested in, who I'm going to partner with, and how that, you know, how I can do something that I'm passionate about, whether it be something about science or belief systems or something exciting like that. But right now, doing a lot of biking and getting out there and thinking about it. My friends took me out dirt biking the other day. I mean, it was completely different. It was like e-biking on crack. And I'm still undecided. It was different from mountain biking for sure. But having a lot of time to at least formulate and plan my next strategy and move.
You're going to go up yourself in the next film, right? In the rocket?
Yep.
Right. Yes. You guys nailed it on the head. Thank you. I didn't think that would be a possibility, but now I do because of that suggestion.
You're welcome.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I just see you floating in space on the balloons with a little G.I. Joe, like, walkie-talking back. Guys, I don't think this is working as we planned.
Right. And I'll have a GoPro with me, and I think it'll be perfect. No, we were talking about that, and I think, you know, we're talking about getting people or finding somebody and having the next astronauts and making a TV show out of that. But I have to be honest, I am not sure if I want to be associated with something like that. somebody could actually die again. And it's just, it's weird. Would it be funny? Would it be fun? Absolutely. It totally would be. But how do you filter out people? And, more importantly, how do you live with that? Because it's such a backyard gamble. It's just a DIY gamble. And Waldo would argue, if he was sitting right here, that, hey, that's a daredevil stunt. What do you want? And I would say, well, yeah, you're crazy. You're absolutely nuts. You're off your rocker. But, you know, I mean, in regards to the film, I think that, you know, one of my main things was to champion science and pepper in a little bit of flat earth nonsense and ultimately show Mike's humanity that we did, and I'm happy with that. But it's really interesting. People can sit back, people can laugh at Mike, and people can say, what a dipshit, idiot, I can't believe this guy, blah, 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 expletive, expletive. But really what it comes down to is, yeah, you can laugh at this guy for having a belief in the flat earth, but what do you believe in your life that doesn't have good evidence? Could you believe in something like the flat earth? Do you believe in ghosts, or are you an anti-vaxxer, or, you know, what is your religion? So it's this interesting idea, as far as, you know, we all have or have had a flat earth belief at one time in our life. And maybe it's a good time, you know, a good chance to flip the coin and turn it on yourself and look at yourself and see, well, geez, what do I believe without evidence in my life? So
I didn't think we'd have that deep of a conversation over flat earth, but that was cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do you know, here's a really quick factoid for those listening and you guys as well. This is really odd. When I first found the story, I was like, flat earth, that's really weird. And, you know, I've heard about it, you know, the Joe Rogan, the Alex Jones, the Eddie Bravo jokes on, you know, the podcast, and just tons of joking about it. And, you know, Eddie Bravo's logical fallacies left and right. Oh, yeah. But there is the Flat Earth Society was founded in no other than Hot Springs, South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, by, it's a eerie coincidence, but this guy named Professor Orlando Ferguson founded the Flat Earth Society. And if you Google that, there is a map of the square and stationary Earth online, and you can see angels are holding up the square Earth on the four corners.
Nice. So yeah. Angels protect us. Now that makes sense.
Yeah, they hold it up because, that's, I mean, brilliant. Without that, it would fall into abyss or into. I'm not sure. But, you know, that is verified by Professor Orlando Ferguson. I thought that was super cool finding that. But
you need to go infiltrate the society and report back.
I'm not sure if it's still there. 1893.
Oh, it's there. It's there.
So Toby, if people want to get in touch with you or find out about your next projects, when they can go?
So they can go to my website. It's tobybrusseau.com. That's TobyBrusseau.com. I'm sure they can go over to your website, Verbal Shenanigans, and find that link. And or they could go to RealRocketMan.com. That's R-E-A-L, RealRocketMan.com. And you can find my contact information there. You can find links to watch the film there. I do ask if you watch it, you review it, and give us an honest review, and maybe not say that he could have taken a weather balloon with a GoPro up. We got that. We got that covered.
Got it clear.
We totally got that. But yeah, that's basically how you can find information on me and the film. Any other thoughts or questions that you guys have for me?
No, I mean, not at the moment. I think we covered it pretty well. So I want to,
guys. I got to tell you though. I mean, I'm a little disappointed. You spent like an hour and a half with Bigfoot, and you spent like less than an hour with me. I mean, what is going
on
here?
No, we spent 38 minutes with Bigfoot guy.
38 minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got the banner back and forth inside these episodes. It's not all the interviews. It's,
yeah.
We try to entertain once in a blue moon in these too. So,
well, I really appreciate you reaching out and including me on the podcast, and I look forward to talking with you guys again sometime in the future.
Yeah, whenever you got your next project, let us know and we'll get on here and talk about it.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Mike.
You know what I wanted to ask you, and I totally forgot.
Like, sure.
I
added in. Sure.
Are in any way, are you mad that you named the documentary Rocket Man because of the Elton John film Elton that John. Came out right around the same time, and you type it in, and that's all you get is Elton John stuff?
Well, actually, not at all.
Or does it help?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, cool. I didn't even care. You know, I was aware
right.
that it was going to be Rocketman, the movie, the documentary with Elton John was coming out. And some people are like, oh, we definitely need to change it. And I'm like, you come up with a better title than Rocketman.
Right.
And that's cool. But everyone's calling him Rocketman. Everyone calls him Rocketman in the movie. Everyone calls him Rocketman on in the newspaper and magazine articles. It's just kind of a no-brainer. You know, we added the tagline, which I'm mildly indifferent to. I think the flat earth angle is a double-edged sword, right? I think it's brilliant, and I also think it can cause a little harm, because right away some people say, oh, flat earth, get real.
Gotcha.
But as far as Rocket Man, no, it's cool, it's kitschy, it's fun, and I think some guy left a review and he is like, you know, I thought I was watching the Elton John documentary, and I'm
Elton's friends are weird. You are
an idiot, because this is not even close to the Elton John documentary. However, I shouldn't say he's an idiot, because the guy was nice enough to say, you know what, I thought it was Elton John movie, but I actually ended up enjoying it. So that was very nice, but maybe he thinks Elton John launched himself in a rocket.
I just picture him all the way towards the end, towards the launch, and be like, when does he show up in this film? Like
yeah. When's he going to play piano? I know. This is weird.
Exactly. When does Tiny Dancer come in?
Yeah, where's the alcohol ODing start? And make I'm just so confused.
They haven't even introduced the main character yet.
An See, hour now after I want this, to take I have no idea.
Splice them together, you know.
So
right.
All right, Toby. Thanks so much, man, and good luck with the film, and good luck with whatever your next project is. I'm excited to really kind of hear about it. Rocket Man, throw a flat earth hillbilly in the sky. Rocket Man, take a guy with a bad haircut and make him fly. Rocket Man. And Toby Bruce.
Well, this is better than the newer Superman movies. This is a better backstory.
Right. Remember the Rocketeer?
Yeah, that was a pretty decent movie, and you know? All. That's kind of one of the underrated Disney movies.
That's where I don't know what to say, because I saw it when I was, I don't even know how old I was, and I probably have not seen it ever again. I saw it once in the theaters, being like, oh, that's a cool movie, and I remember all the promotion around it, but I wonder if it holds up. That's what I really want to know, if it's any good or it's terrible.
I mean, we got plenty of time. You might as well fit it into your pandemic hours, you know, revisiting the Rocket Man.
I mean, maybe we could do a whole episode on the Rocketeer.
Well, after we do all the Leprechaun movies, as we promised we were going to do about 230 episodes ago.
Yeah. The only problem with watching all the Leprechaun movies is really painful.
Yeah,
like it's not even fun. It's not even fun. But
well, once you get to the campy, ultra stupid ones, then it kind of it's like, all right, now I see you realize what you are. But
all right. So Mike will watch all 8 Leprechauns in the next week, and I will watch the Rocketeer.
I'm trying to do the count in my head. 5, 6. I think there's 8. No, 7 or 8. All right. Well, he did go into space in one of them, so that's a cross-promotion.
There you go. I'm glad. Toby's probably like, man, thank God they're cross-promoting me with the Leprechaun that went into space. thank God those films are on par. But
all that work I put into this movie, I want people to say Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space.
But Toby Brusseau, everybody. All right, Toby Brusseau, if only our Mike would strap himself to a rocket and blow himself up, we'd be all right.
Well, I've been working on it.
Have you?
I Yeah, I mean, I got a cardboard box. I got 20 liters of Coca-Cola and some Mentos. I think that should be enough to get me out of the atmosphere.
I think you need more Coke, man. You need more Coke.
More Coke?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in Georgia, so I'm going to be pretty set there. So that'd be fine. It's all getting the Mentos down here. I think they're in another state.
Oh, man. So, Toby Brussell, pretty fascinating. I don't know, man. I can't believe that there's. I guess I can believe that there's flat earthers out there, because basically, I don't know, man. Do you find yourself in a state of at least anything new? Right, we've known the Earth is round for a long time. So people who are flat earthers, it's like, well, you're insane. But anything like new, do you have any idea what to believe ever?
No, because. I mean, basically, you'll either get a second political view,
yep,
a second scientific view, a second, for lack of a better term, crackpot review, and then there's just sites that are just putting fake news out there for jollies. So I don't think we'll ever be able to get truths anymore. When we were kids, it was like when you wrote a report, it wasn't just... Oh, I read it in this one book. The teacher's like, no. I want details, everything, fact you put in your report. I want you to write down the reference. I want you to use multiple references. I want you to use books. I want you to use magazines.
Yep.
That's the kind of research where you can sit back and say, okay, from everything I've got, logically, I could determine X. Now it seems like, if you just put on Facebook something like Amy Poehler is using antibiotics to kill midgets in Tanzania, it's like, well, it's got to be true.
She is.
Makes sense. I always knew
there was something up with that girl.
Yeah, I mean, park and recreations have been going for a while, so she's got free time. She's out to get those midgets.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like... I think we're at the point where, at least a point in history where things will never be, like, there's never going to be a history book with one story in it. Like, oh, this is what happened. It's just, everyone's going to be like, no, that's not what happened. You can go back to the internet and figure it out. Like, for every good thing the internet brings, it brings so much awfulness to it. It's just, with this pandemic thing, I am now at zero idea what to believe. I have no idea.
Well, I think what it boils down to is it's not like, okay, this is what we believe the truth is. It's not like somebody comes out and says, well, I have an alternate theory. You can believe it or not, but here's my theory on what actually is true. And then you can listen to it and have your little discussions and debate and come up with a conclusion. Hey, you might have a point, or... No, that's crazy. It's what we generally think. No, it's literally, you have to be right or you're definitely wrong.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing in the middle. I mean, there are things out there I can understand, gray areas, as we talked about. You know, we did the Bigfoot researchers. We talked about UFOs. There's so many things that's like, okay, could be plausible, could be not. We can sit back and say either or, but whatever. Now it's just, it's gotten dry. No, you got all your answers from this place, ergo, you're a Republican.
Yeah, somehow anything, like, like a pandemic, a disease, has just been turned, no matter what issue it is, it's just political now. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like, I could be like, you know, Scott Brennan died of a heart disease. And somehow it would be like, well, someone would report it one way, someone would report the other, and there'd be people arguing. I could be like, the Mets signed a first baseman. Well, it's because he's a he's a Democrat. Like, there's so much. It doesn't matter what the news story. There's no more common ground. Like, people just ignore the common ground thing, which is the most important thing. And it's just like, well, if you're a writer, you're allowed. It's like worse than any Yankees Red Sox rivalry. It's worse than any Lakers Celtics. It's just so brutal that you can't even report anything. Like CNN or Fox could be like, there was a baby panda born in a zoo this morning. No, there wasn't. Liberals and their pandas and their baby animals.
Everybody knows that pandas squint with their left eye, and this one squinted with his right eye. So clearly, they're planting in the pandas to make it look like there's a problem with the panda mating ritual.
It's just so negative all the time. It's just like you just, and between the pandemic and staying inside, where you're kind of looking for news, right, to kind of help you a little bit on like what's happening and what's going on and what's the future of this thing. But all it does is just pull you right back into the crap. And it, this pandemic, you could probably go back podcast like in February, and I was probably talking about someone. I never thought it can get worse than it was. It's going to be way worse after this.
Well, I'll put it in quote. The day we found out Kobe died, I remember you texted me, and I said, well, hold up. I'm on a couple news stations I haven't seen yet, because I could literally see some idiot starting a rumor that Kobe Bryant died, and he was literally alive. So I had to wait till like more news stations were publishing it. And then, like, let's even go to a lower level. We just went through the whole Last Dance documentary.
Fantastic.
All we can
by the way.
Talk about is polls about who thinks Michael Jordan is better than LeBron James. And anybody who says, well, I think it's one or the other, it's like, bull! You know nothing!
Yep.
You got your retro glasses on. You are just a LeBron lover that you. No, your opinion doesn't matter, even though I will ask for it.
Did you watch all of The Last Dance?
I have recorded all of it, so I'm going to go back and enjoy it.
Oh, what episode?
It'll be kind of good. I can do it by myself, so no, I don't want to hear from other people's opinions. I will have my own view. Maybe on the next episode, I will give the full Burlew review of The Last Dance.
All right, yeah, I would like to dive into it. But it was fantastic, man. You don't gotta be a Jordan fan. You don't even have to be a sport. My wife was watching with me, and she could care less about basketball and was pretty into it. Like, wow, just watching someone at that athletic level and that competitive level is, and the amount of footage they have. That's also like, people are like, oh, they should make one about the Yankees or the Patriots. Yeah, they should. But do they have footage from behind the scenes for, you know?
Yeah.
They should make them on every team, but now they don't have that. That's why Hard Knocks is so great. If you ever watch Hard Knocks.
Well, even like the WWE, they're doing the Undertaker documentary. They're like, oh, this is so awesome. Why didn't we see it? He was a zombie. They're trying to convince you he's a dead zombie, so they're not going to show the camera. So he's like, oh, this is my wife. Say hi to her, huh? Everybody, I love my wife. I'm a zombie.
You've been trying that, though.
What's that?
You've been trying that for a couple of years, though, the whole zombie angle.
I gave it a shot, being a zombie, but, I mean, nobody really believed it, and I'm in Georgia where everybody's got a gun, so it's probably not the smartest thing to act like a zombie. So,
where, speaking of zombies, do you still watch The Walking Dead? Is that still on?
It is still on.
You tapped out?
I haven't tapped out, but it's basically not a mandatory watch. They got better. I think it's a sad, they figured out people were turning on them, but I think it's a little too late.
Yeah.
Like when Rick went away, they just basically said, you know what? F it. We'll get these people in here. We're going to do original stuff. We're going to turn things. We're going to get gory. We're going to see somebody you like and go, ha ha, we're going to kill him. They kind of went back to the roots.
Yeah.
They're in a little predicament because their final episode, they didn't have time to produce before this whole thing happened. So it's literally a cliffhanger for the final episode to have the cliffhanger for the next season.
Oh, yeah.
But they got good. Fear the Walking Dead still around. It's meh. I like Morgan, but I got a feeling they did something stupid, like put him in a spot where it's like kind of like Glenn. Remember that Glenn thing where like they tore into his stomach and it's like, ha ha, there was another body on top of him and he rolled under the the garbage can or whatever. It's
that
like,
was no. kind of the looking back at that, that was kind of the beginning of the end of The Walking Dead, was that big lean into the whole Negan angle. Like, that was pretty much where it started going downhill. Like, right after that.
Yeah, they were starting to slip before, because the Glenn thing was before Negan, where they acted like, oh, this is so sad, he's dead, blah, blah. And you're like, well, wait a minute, why aren't you talking to him on, like, the after show? Why are you not just flat out saying Glenn's dead? No, it's a fake out. And then they did the whole cliffhanger. Then they kind of was disappointed. It's like, you left us all here. You could have killed off those guys and had an impact where you're like, damn.
Yeah, that was right around when they were doing full episodes of characters we don't give a crap about. Time, like, did not pass forever. And then, like, the Negan thing, the payoff was never that great. It never felt like this, like, they built them up. It was building up to these amazing battles. And just, like, you just went too long, man. Like, no one cared after a while.
Yeah, if you're building a badass, he's got to be a badass. You can't just say, oh, no, the badass is coming. Oh, no, did you hear about this badass? I'm scared. Why? There's a badass coming. No, badass is just, who are you? And he just knocks your teeth out.
Let's do five episodes of Daryl locked in a cage. This is great. Let's do five episodes of Michonne and her backstory and her and Rick. Like, it just got so bad. It always felt like it started to feel like, okay, they're going to take an idea and stretch it over two seasons where that idea could have been played out in three episodes.
Also, add to it, they bought into the audience saying, if you do this, we won't do that. Like, the whole Daryl thing. He can't die. It's like, well, I mean, now at the moment, they can't because they killed off all the other people at the worst times. But, like, they wouldn't kill him off because they're like, oh, but people love him. It's like, no, people love the show because it's like, oh, I love this character. Oh, you son of a.
Yeah.
You got rid of him.
Exactly.
It was just jaw-dropping. Now it's just like, you know, it's the, oh, I'm in a corner and there's 20 zombies in front of me. Commercial break. You're just like, he's getting out.
Yep. Yeah.
He's getting out. Just, all right. Yep. AMC. What's that? Yeah. Better Call Saul. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. back from commercial. Oh, look. He found a window. It's just.
Yeah. I can't think of a show that started off so great and got that bad. Like, it fell from great.
Game of Thrones.
No, Game of Thrones is great. Game of Thrones never had multiple seasons, if not multiple episodes, where it was bad. Game of Thrones had a semi-weak last season, but it wasn't even weak. It just wasn't enough time to tell the story, so they crammed it into seven episodes. Rather, that could have been like 14 or 12 episodes. But Game of Thrones was phenomenal all the way through, up until kind of the last few episodes. So I can't think of something that started that good and just fell off that hard.
I'm trying to think in my head. I mean, you can make an argument, This Is Us, because nobody talks about This Is Us anymore after it was like the hugest thing in the world.
Yeah, I haven't watched that since second season, yeah. I don't think. But
yeah, it's they got that. They still got the second show. They got a mini third show where they said it's only going to go two seasons.
Jeez.
And there's still question marks of, are they still having the three Rick movies as they claim that they're going to do? And it's just
three of them they said they're going to do? Jesus Christ.
They said they were going to do three Rick movies. So I don't know. And they were even cheap about, so they knew Michonne was going. What they do, they stick her on a boat saying, she found evidence of Rick. And it's like, I'm going to find Rick. And that's how they write her off. It's like, no, she still could be alive. You know, if Black Panther 2 never comes out, we can get her back.
Ugh. I don't know, man. That's brutal. But I guess it's time to write this episode off and see you guys in a couple days. Burla, let's get the hell out of here. As we climb to episode 300, before we go, Burla, anything to promote?
I am going to promote a former guest of ours, Lucy Sprogan. Many of you might remember her from episode 215. Absolute delight to talk to. She is an English folk singer. She was on the X Factor over in the UK. She is going to be coming out with her sixth album soon called Choices. And if this pandemic goes away in November, she'll be touring again in the UK. So if you want more information, look up Lucy Sprogan, Sprogan, and find out more information about her next album and her tour.
I will promote a podcast of a friend of ours, Mike Ciccoli, and another fellow comic, John Kirshner, have a podcast called That's My Time. It's very new. It's only about 10 episodes in, so go check it out. They do a good job. It's pretty funny, so go check out That's My Time. And that's it, guys. That's our time. And listen, the best thing you can do for us is subscribe to us on iTunes and every other podcast platform. Check us out on a whole bunch of internet radio stations, from Denver Radio to ComingRightUp.org to DC.
Discovery Community Network.
Yeah. We're on a new one. What's the new sports one we're on? RTF, I think it is.
RTF Sports Podcasters. I think we're still working out stuff, but we'll be joining them soon.
Yep. So that's about it, guys. Life is funny. Laugh at it, and keep the wind at your back. Peace.
Miners.